It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 6 minutes past the hour. And we're live here in WSB Studios in Midtown. 58 degrees here on Peachtree. Headed up to about 70 degrees today. A beautiful day here. Winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. This is the kind of day we love to be in Atlanta. Weather brought to you by Shoemate here on a WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. What's better? What is better? We've been talking about this all morning. Active investing versus passive investing in the swirl of the world that we live in. Listen, we already know the headlines, right? Jobs up 211,000 for April. Unemployment rate down to 4.4%. The underemployment, by the way, rate, which again, closely watched, the U6 went from just under 9% down to 8.6% for the month of April. So, which is getting close to full employment here, by the way, folks. For the headline rate to be 4.4% unemployment, we're getting pretty darn close to full employment. Wage growth, which is the key. Remember, recessions, if you had to watch one economic data point that will flash a red light that says economy is going to slow down, it's going to be wage growth. Because if we get to a point where wage growth gets to be inflationary, it starts to hit earnings. It hits company earnings, which that's when markets start to go the other direction. So wage growth, which is key, at 2.5%. Four and a half is the number, is kind of the red zone. So we're safely under that number for now. So this is the lowest unemployment rate really since May of 07. You could go back even further if you track a chart for unemployment, and you can go back to, we were at 4.4% all the way back in 2001. Labor force participation rate still close to 63%, 62.9 to be exact. We saw jobs in professional services, healthcare, restaurant and bars, and local government. That gets us to the 211,000 new jobs for the month of April. Fed didn't do anything this week. They did not raise rates, but they will likely raise rates in June coming up in the next iteration of Fed, Janet Yellen, the soap opera. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's better, active versus passive? The number in the studio. And we just had a great call from an investor who said, look, I've tried to be active, or I've tried to be passive, and I've tried to be passive and sit and hold tight in an index fund. And what ultimately ends up happening is that my emotions kick in and I become the active investor. Even though I'm trying to be passive, I'm using passive vehicles, I become active. Which is a really important point because investing is so emotional. Forget all the statistics. Understand and understanding your own human behavior when it's your money, that's what kicks in and gets people to be active and why passive typically doesn't happen in the purest sense of the word. And that's what we're trying to figure out here and help with on a Sunday morning. So remember, there's really no such thing as a pure passive investing approach unless you've got no emotion tied into the game, which is pretty rare to have happen. There are just various shades of active investing, which again is the call that we just took from an investor that said, look, you can blow a 1 to 10% rate of return in a weekend by making poor investment decisions, which continues on this debate. So if you'd like to weigh in on this and see, and I want to talk about some ETFs or index funds or exchange-traded funds that are thought of as index funds that are really not quite as passive as you think. So there's this blurred continuum between the S&P 500 that sits there and the same 500 stocks, and it updates when the S&P 500 in itself updates. But what about things like the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF? What about a fund that has 188 holdings, tracks the NASDAQ Dividend Achievers Index? What about SDY, the State Street S&P Dividend ETF, created by State Street back in 05? It's been trading. SDY, you can think of as a passive vehicle, but is it really a passive ETF? Well, it was created to track the performance of a particular index. Remember, we talked about there's over 400 of these things. In this particular case, it's the S&P High Yield Dividend Aristocrat Index. So there's so many of these. Which one do you track? So S&P High Yield Dividend Aristocrat Index, it's got the highest dividend yielding companies in the S&P 1500, not the 500. Another index, by the way, the S&P 1500, much broader, obviously, than the S&P 500, includes some middle-sized companies, not just giant companies. These are companies that put a really high priority on managing their dividend and their dividend payout. And they've been increasing dividends every year for at least 20 consecutive years. 20! That's a lot of years. Today, there are about 108 holdings. 99% of those holdings are in the United States. Expense is about a third of a percent, one third of 1%. Today, it yields just shy of 2.5%. So it's not a gigantic payout today. It's nothing to sneeze at. 2.5% a year that comes just from the dividend, just from the cash flow from this. And remember, you've got earnings from the underlying companies. They're trying to grow their earnings. If you look at right now, they're running in the 8 to 9% earnings rate of return, which goes beyond. That's what the companies in profit are growing. That's how their profits are growing, which obviously helps these underlying stock values go up over time. You're going to see companies like Realty Income, AT&T, Con Ed, Kimberly-Clark, Coca-Cola, Emerson Electric, McDonald's, NextAir Energy, ExxonMobil. It's a list of companies that have been able to grow the dividend over a long, long period of time. Average size of these companies, average market cap, $50 billion. Then you can look at actually that's the average weighted market cap. So the average weighted market cap is $50 billion. The average of the ETF, the average market cap is $21 billion. So you have about 20% of these companies are giant, which I would consider $100 billion plus companies. 30% in large companies, 50 billion and up, and then another 40% in middle-sized companies. So call that 10 billion and up, and then 10% in small companies. Anything I would consider small is under about $10 billion. Sectors, so you have industrials, financial, staples, utilities, all in SDY. So there's a lot of, and those companies will change. So yes, there's 108 of them. There may be 5 new companies a year, maybe 10, depending on how the underlying index changes. So is it a passive vehicle? Well, not really. Is it a highly active vehicle? Not really. It's a low-cost ETF that has a quantitative strategy that follows a particular index, a quality screening to some extent. So it sits somewhere between active and passive. And this is a perfect example of why the debate is so confusing. Today we're talking about the difference between active funds and passive funds. There's no such thing as pure passive investing if your emotion gets involved, because if you change something, all of a sudden, wait a minute, now we're active. There are just lots and lots of versions and lots of variations on active investing. Let's continue this conversation. So I would say rarely do investors feel totally comfortable in this purely passive investment approach. You invest just in an index or one of the hundreds of different indexes around the world and just live with it gets really uncomfortable, just as our caller said a few moments ago. Now, the empirical data, so let's dive into what the emotion does for folks. The empirical data that we've updated for years and years and years, or a company called Dalbar has been doing this, shows that the majority of individual investors don't have a lot of tolerance for these dramatic market moves. And they end up leading to what are technically ill-timed buying and selling. Otherwise known as bad market timing, or just market timing in general. And rarely have I ever met an investor that has just ridden out all the full ups and downs of owning an index through an entire market cycle. It just rarely happens. Emotional reality comes into play. And it's a big, big variable that weighs on an approach that is almost too much to bear for a lot of folks. So the question to answer here question about this heavy topic. Do I own active? Do I own passive? The question to really answer here is what approach to investing? So we've already decided, look, the vehicles here are low-cost passive and low-cost active. They both work. Low-cost active and low-cost passive, they both work. So the approach to investing is the real question mark here. So what works best for you considering when it comes to these extreme conditions or extreme emotions that come with watching your hard-earned money go up and down and rise and fall, with the irrationality of world markets? So we spent so many hours the last couple of weeks looking at these different studies. One was S&P, one was from Morningstar/PIMCO. We spent hours, Ryan and I, looking through all the data here. Data on active, data on passive. The conclusion here is that most investors, including I think a lot of our folks here today, Money Matters listeners, benefit from a combination of active and passive vehicles and a strategy that lies somewhere on the continuum where you feel comfortable. Somewhere, and I've thought this for a lot of years. It's just that this debate has come back into the news, and this debate is something that I realize it's time for me to come back to and get a definitive answer here. So you want to use the very best low-cost blend of active and passive. Even if it's only 5 to 10 vehicles, there's great comfort in some sort of diversification, some sort of asset allocation, and participating in a balance that's comfortable for you and meets your goals at the stage of life that you happen to find yourself in. And they're different stages, right? Accumulation, 30 to 55, 55 to 65 is kind of the retirement gray zone, and you're paying for college usually. And then you got 65 to 85, you're at active retirement. And then 85 to 100, you're thinking about charity. You're thinking about your legacy. Those are all very different zones here. So the solution is use some sort of common sense approach and not an emotional approach that creates a balance you can live with. And that's really how we have to approach this great debate that'll never end. And that's why we're weighing in and out here on a Sunday morning. The number in the studio. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Man, I cannot wait until that bridge gets finished. I love how quickly that they are doing this. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. S&P study and a PIMCO study / Morningstar that really butt heads, and it goes back to this question about active versus passive management. So the S&P, the Standard Poor's study, is a real advertisement to ditch your active stock funds. And in reality, what it really boils down to is what they're really saying is you got to ditch your high-cost active funds. That's really, if you boil this down. The PIMCO Morningstar study is a real advertisement to own active bond funds and active bond ETFs, and not be passive or not own just the bond index. No wonder the debate's so confusing. They're saying totally separate things. But also don't confuse a passive fund or an index fund or an ETF, those are all in the same category, with simply becoming a pure passive investor. That's the danger of this whole thing. Don't confuse using a passive fund or an index fund, or an ETF, and they're all to some extent in the same category, low cost. They're typically trying to track some sort of index or some sort of methodology like the Standard & Poor's Dividend Achiever Index that we just talked about, or ETF. So don't confuse using one of these vehicles with simply being a pure passive investor. Remember, in reality, that doesn't really exist, because eventually your emotions take over and they make you an active investor. It's actually really, it's a rare investor that just fully plows everything into the same broad index forever and ever and ever. In the real world, there's too much emotion involved with that. Too much emotion involved in money for most people to stay passive completely in the purest sense of the word. So the answer, of course, is like it usually is here on Money Matters, some sort of balance that gives you diversification, asset allocation, participation in a balance that's comfortable with you, that meets the strategy or the period of life, or the stage of life that you're in. We're going to come back with more Money Matters. I do want to go to the phones. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead.
News.
We've been just talking this giant debate, active, passive. I think we finally come to a good conclusion here. For some folks, pure passive works, not a lot, 5 to 10%. The rest of us are in some sort of continuum between active, some sort of active strategy, varying shades of how active that really gets. Really boils down to owning a balance that you can live with low cost, both active and passive. They both work. You just don't want to pay and be weighed down by giant fees. And that's a huge part of the equation. Doesn't mean you just own index funds completely, because most folks can't quite live with that. So don't confuse a passive fund or a passive index fund or an ETF, which all blend together. Some are slightly more active than others, with simply being a pure passive investor. Remember, in reality, pure passive for most folks doesn't really exist. It's actually a rare investor that just deals with it because of all the emotion involved. So I want to talk about a couple of different particular ETFs, which I'll highlight, that even though they're widely regarded as, oh, that's kind of just a passive thing to do or a passive approach, there's a lot that goes on underneath the hood. The phone line's open. So again, I've been on a rant for hours here this morning, but it would be great to, we'll open up the phone lines and go back and take a couple more calls here. So call me here in the studio. Good morning, 404-872-0750. If you're sitting around with breakfast, coffee, maybe you're finished church, maybe you're thinking about this beautiful day, we're gonna get to 70 degrees, a little bit of a breeze, kind of a home run of a day to be out and about. May in Atlanta. Hopefully you don't have to drive too much, because traffic really, we can't wait till that bridge gets done. And I love that they're working like 24/7 to get this thing done. But if you're hanging out with family, you and your wife have been talking about a financial question for the last couple of weeks or months, hey, let's call and talk to Wes Moss about this on Money Matters on a Sunday morning. The other thought here is that there's a lot of blending between active and passive ETFs that you might own. Hey, what are we doing? Are we doing this, or how do we transition to a slightly more passive strategy? Should we be ditching these funds and buying these vehicles? That would all work into the conversation today here, which is a very important debate. I mean, we put so much pressure on understanding the headlines, and it's important to do. And we're when healthcare evolves out of Congress and the Senate, we're going to talk that through and how it impacts you. When tax reform comes back up, and again, tax reform will probably get delayed. We'll go over that. We'll talk deep into tax reform. But interesting, by the way, on tax reform, go back in the years that's really happened. We had a tax cut in 1981. We had tax reform in 1986. We had a tax cut in 01 and a tax cut in 03. These took time. So the date of passage for the 1981 tax cut didn't happen. It started in the beginning of the year, didn't happen until August. So it was an 8-month period of time. The tax reform that happened in October of 86, that was under debate. That was full reform. That took almost 2 full years. It was 22 months to get done. The tax cut in 01 took 5 months. 03 took 5 months. So now that healthcare is back on the table, it's going to delay this tax reform significantly. And we've got to remember, this is going to probably take at least 6 months. So we're not going to get too hyper and excited about what exactly all the bullet points in the new tax reform mean, because the reality is it's going to take a long time before anything even remotely significant gets passed. But we'll stay on that. And we'll keep you informed with tax reform and healthcare reform, because it impacts your wallet and it impacts retirement. And that's what we're here to help you with. But we also need to go back to some of the fundamental building blocks of how we're really investing. Let's get back to the foundation of what we're the best ways and the most efficient ways to structure your portfolio, because that's really what matters. So with that, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We will go to the phones here. Again, if you're listening, if you have a question about a pension potentially, should I take the lump sum or should I take the pension, Wes? Well, we'll talk that through. Again, mutual fund or an ETF question, which one are you thinking about buying? Maybe your advisor is telling you to do something new and you just want to get another opinion about it. Or maybe you just have cash sitting around and it's not doing anything in a world where interest rates are starting to go up and we're getting bonds are paying slightly more, not a lot. Money markets are paying a tiny bit more, not a giant amount, but you shouldn't be sitting around having money do zero or do nothing, because rates have gone up, at least short-term rates have, because of the Fed. So all of that swimming around, happy to answer your questions or talk through a scenario. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. On the phone from Canton, Wesley joins us on the line. What's going on? How can I help?
Hi, Wes. I am trying to figure out, my wife has we've opened up a Roth account for her with Vanguard, and trying to find out what direction we need to go in.
So you're trying to figure out, you opened up the question, I'm trying to figure out my wife, and I'm trying to do the same thing in my family. And I don't know if I can help you with that, but if you're trying to figure out
there's no hope for that either.
Right.
But that's another matter.
But really, you're trying to figure out your wife's Roth at Vanguard and what to do with it. And that's really, I think, what you're calling about. So are you just starting a Roth, or did you convert some money into a Roth? How much money are we talking about inside this Roth IRA?
No, we did the contribution for 2016, so $5,500, and I'm trying to find out what ETF or index fund exactly, what direction I need to head in. She's 39 for growth potential, but you know, obviously nothing, you know, on the super risky. Good growth fund.
So one of the ETFs I was going to talk about today. So I mentioned the State Street S&P Dividend ETF. And remember, at Vanguard, you don't have to just have Vanguard funds.
Right.
Remember that. It's a very open platform they have now. So you can have stocks, you can have other ETFs that aren't Vanguard. So there's a lot to choose from now. But if we're thinking about Vanguard, and since you mentioned it, one of the ETFs I was going to mention today as another version along this continuum, relatively passive, but not a passive ETF. It's actually, there's a strategy behind it, and that's the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation ETF. The symbol on that is VIG. VIG.
Okay.
And so it's real inexpensive. So it's a 0.1%. It's been open and running since 2006. It's got about $25 billion in assets in it. It's about 188 holdings, and it tracks what's called it's a U.S. index called the Dividend Achievers Select Index. Now, these are slightly larger companies than what I mentioned earlier. So the Standard & Poor's Dividend ETF, SDY, has a market cap of, or an average market cap of about 20. This is slightly larger than that. This is a group of stocks that they've increased the dividends for at least 10 years. So it's not 20 like at SDY, but this is 10, and it excludes stocks that have, if they've decreased the dividend, it's going to get kicked out. And it also excludes real estate investment trust, so there's no REITs in it at all. The size in this, very large cap to some extent, the median size is $57 billion. Again, if you go back to SDY, it's about $21 billion. That's the difference here. So the median size is 57 just updating what I had just said, versus SDY, which is about 21. So much larger companies than in SDY that has a lot of middle-sized companies. So to some extent, and it's going to own things like Pepsi and J&J and Coke and 3M and Colgate-Palmolive and Chubb Insurance, Accenture, CVS. Those are some of the holdings. Notice that a company like Apple, Cisco, not in there because they don't have a full 10 years of dividend paying dividends. So you've got a yield of around 2%, slightly higher than the yield of the S&P 500, but an interesting group of companies. So that's the kind of ETF that it's not a fully active strategy. There's not a manager in there buying and selling, but they're trying to stick with a methodology, let's call it a quantitative type approach that has rules. So it's a rules-based approach to make sure the companies inside of that are always have not decreased dividends over 10 in any point over the last 10 years, or they've obviously had to pay dividends for at least the last 10 years. So that's that's the kind of ETF that lies in between. It's not very active, but it's not really just a passive index either. It's kind of somewhere in the middle, and it's low cost, and that's the kind of vehicle that you guys should start looking at Vanguard or wherever you are. It doesn't have to be. You can own a Vanguard ETF at Schwab or Fidelity or any other custodian that you have. So that's something to look at, my friend. Wesley, it's always a little weird on the phone when the caller's got the same name as the host. But hopefully that's helpful, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. 404-872-0750. The other, and we'll continue with the phones here. Actually, we've got to do weekend prize pack. Are we doing that right now, Ryan?
Yes, we are.
Okay, let's go.
The WSB weekend prize pack is a 4-pack of tickets to the Atlanta Antique Show May 19th through the 21st at the Cobb Galleria Center, and a $50 Williamson Brothers barbecue gift card. Caller number 11 this week, my lucky number, you get the prize pack.
Williamson Barbecue? That's a new prize pack participant.
That is a new addition. Williamson Brothers, a classic barbecue restaurant, new to the weekend prize pack.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Prize line 404-741-0750. Again, prize line 404-741-0750 for this week's weekend prize pack. We've got, if you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. We publish almost every day at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. We write about four things. The acronym is MASH: money, adventure, success, health, happiness. Happy retirees like adventure. They like going places, and they don't want to spend a whole lot of money in doing so. So we write about really inexpensive, adventurous things like 8 cities you can go to on a budget, where to retire around the world besides the United States, or the top 10 cities in the United States to retire. It's all under the adventure tab at wesmoss.com. And of course, there's a money tab, a success, and then a health happiness tab, because that's what we want to write about. That's what we're happy retirees are all about. You can also find us through that website. Email in the upper right-hand corner at wesmoss.com. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan Ealy, the Money Matters team, and we'll get back to you. So if you have questions about all of this, and are you in the right active-passive strategy? Do you need to update something? Is there an issue with your portfolio that you'd like to get some advice or help with? We're, of course, happy to do so. We'll do that throughout the week, and we'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours. Again, the website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button, upper right-hand corner. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. I mean, we were all over this debate today, active versus passive. We talked ETFs. We talked about SDY and VIG. We didn't get to DVY, which is another one that we've talked about here for many years. So there's a lot to choose from. You know, and here we are with a market that's in the 21,000 range. Remember, stock market is just a big distraction in the business of investing. And what I mean by that is there's always hype around the benchmark round numbers. We're right around this 21,000 number. What does that mean? Well, does it mean something? Not really. It's a level that isn't materially different than $20,999. Remember that the stock market level is just a reflection of what companies are earning today. And they're doing pretty well. So we've got earnings growth in the double-digit range. It's been a while since we've seen that. But that's why this market's had a lot of resiliency. And what and markets, again, are just they're a reflection of what investors expect companies to earn in the future. All wrapped up in the context of how people are feeling at the time, which is the great emotional variable that's always at play. When we're feeling good and the economy looks good, markets can have a premium on them. And the reverse is true when things start to get dark and scary. Fortunately, we're in a period of time where the economy continues to be in good shape. So we've got some runway here. Doesn't mean that something out of the blue doesn't happen. Doesn't mean we don't know what's going to happen with the French election today, tomorrow, this week, what'll happen in Washington. But we will keep you informed right here on WSB Radio. So stay tuned for Money Matters every Sunday, 9 to 11. Find us at westmoss.com. Email button at the upper right-hand corner. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday. And stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.